Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are things today?
Things are great. Busy as usual. Big day here in Pittsburgh talking about the whole Le'Veon Bell nonsense. And I've missed you. We haven't gotten together as much as I would like of late. Both of us have been a little busier than usual, and I've been missing the blueprint a little bit.
I know. I have as well. Hopefully our listeners have.
That'd be nice.
We missed last week, but we're back this week. We've got a great guest with us. One of our favorites, one of our regulars, I think we can say at this point. We've got Adam Spinks. You might know him as the RB Scout. Adam, how's it going, man?
It's going great, guys. It is cold and frigid in Texas, and that is not the norm, but I'm glad to talk to you guys and get a chance to talk about what's going on in the fantasy world and running back world.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's cold in Texas, just imagine what it is in Pittsburgh.
It's a little chilly.
Hey, legit cold, though, for Texas. It was 28 degrees
wow.
when we woke up this morning.
It's colder than here.
For DFW, that's miserable.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. We had snow on the ground, even in Kentucky this morning, you know, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. So that's a weird sight, but whatever. Like you said, Adam, we're here to talk.
I think Pittsburgh's the warmest of the three. It's amazing.
Yeah, wow. We are here to talk running backs. That's your specialty, obviously, and that's what we're going to focus on. Just like we've done most of the year, we're going to go game by game, looking at the Week 10 games. And we've been doing kind of a scenario, something a dynasty player might consider doing as far as making a trade, adding or dropping a player, something like that. We're going away from that a little bit. We're still going with our game by game lineup, but we're just going to focus on some of the running backs in those games and get Adam's thoughts on those players for the rest of this season, for 2019, and so forth. So let's start. Matt, you talked about Pittsburgh. We'll start with that Thursday night game, Carolina and Pittsburgh. And I guess, Matt, let's just start. We'll start with you, actually, with the Bell stuff. We're recording this on Tuesday. That was kind of D-Day for Le'Veon Bell. He did not report. He's not going to play in 2018. You've kind of been saying that for at least a month now, that was kind of the feeling you were getting, that he actually may go through with it and not play. So at this point, we can say his Steeler career is over. What's the thought there in Pittsburgh? And any idea where he might suit up in 2019?
Yeah, and you laid that out well. I still don't understand his logic. You leave $14.5 million on the table is the best way to earn money. I just don't quite, that doesn't add up to me. But whatever, he is not going to be back. I can say with 99.9% certainty that he will never be a Steeler again. And I also think, you know, when we talk about Connor, that the Steelers will add somebody in the offseason. Right now they have Ridley, they have Samuels. I wouldn't give those guys huge bumps. And if Connor were to go down, I think those two would truly split time. But I bet they use a third-round pick on another, hopefully, future Connor. As for Bell, we were talking about that today. The three names that I felt the strongest about were Houston, you know, move on from Lamar Miller, draft some linemen. Oakland, they need everything, and I do know for a fact Gruden likes him a lot. And the hated Ravens. I could see the Ravens being interested in him.
I think Vegas got involved and released their...
Oh, did they?
Yeah, their idea for maybe his next team, and the Raiders were near the top, and I think the Jets might have been the favorite right now.
I think the Bucs are another team to throw out, too.
Well...
You know, yeah. You know, one thing to think about is, to me... It's not gonna come down to where he wants to play as far as winning. It really only comes down to money, because at this point he has to make up the money that he just left. So to me, whoever gives him the most is where he's going. It's not going to be anything about situation.
So Adam, let's transition a little bit to players that we actually care about this year, players that are actually playing. And James Conner has really been maybe the story of the entire season, not only because of Bell and that situation, but because Connor has played so well in his own right. How do you think dynasty owners should value James Connor moving forward? I was looking at our latest ADP at DLF. He is based on that, he's the RB12. So he is in that RB1 range at this point. Is that fair? Or maybe you think he should even be higher than that?
Oh, I think that's more than fair. Running back volume is always the key. And if you look at a per-game basis, no one has more snaps played at running back position than Connor does. And even Gurley doesn't. It's a slightly higher percentage for Connor. So, you know, he's been everything that we could ever expect from Bell is what Connor has been. And I didn't come into season thinking that. I mean, I was on Le'Veon Bell being a top three play and Connor being a good committee back, and that has not played out. I think he's ran very well on film. He runs hard. He's been way more dynamic in the receiving game than I ever expected him to be. I do agree with Matt that you can't run someone at this level and expect them to hold out, or not hold out, but them to survive like Bell did. He's running at that type of level as far as the amount of volume he's getting. I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. So anytime you have a decrease in volume, you have a decrease in numbers, and you just need an efficiency to stay. But his selling point is that he's ran well against eight-man fronts. He's like 30% on eight-man fronts that he's faced, and he's ran really well. And, you know, you can always look at offensive groupings as an important thing for defensive man in the box. And the Steelers run 11 personnel, which is one running back and one tight end, about 75% of the time. So they're not running too heavy of packages. So I think, yeah, there's a lot to like. I'm way higher than probably 12. I was expecting you to tell me, I'd like to know who's around him. I thought about that today. He's certainly not in the top tier, even the second tier for me, but he's in the Mixon Fournette conversation for me around that area.
Yeah, that's kind of the range. Fournette is actually one spot ahead of them, and all of these guys are pretty closely grouped. Le'Veon Bell is actually RB10, so he's ahead of him as well. I'm not sure I agree with that one, but that's what the people have said. Connor's ahead of Dalvin Cook, ahead of Kerryon Johnson, Nick Chubb. We see a lot of the rookies coming in there in the early teens. So that's probably where we can expect him. Mixon, your boy Mixon, is RB8 right now.
He's moving up. I can tell you this without hesitation. There is zero chance I would trade James Conner for Le'Veon Bell. I don't care where Le'Veon Bell goes. His value diminishes because of the situation. The situation he has with the Steelers, with as much volume as they were giving him, he's not going to have that wherever he goes. If it's Houston, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I actually did just kind of a random Twitter poll to see kind of where the community was. This was probably 2 weeks ago before we had gotten so close to this day and we knew for sure that Bell wouldn't be playing. And even then, I think it was 65-35, something like that, in favor of Connor. So very, very different than what our ADP says. All right, guys, our next game, the Lions and the Bears. Adam, I'm really confused at this point with this Chicago backfield. We saw them start the season planning to not only feed Jordan Howard plenty of carries, but they also vowed to get him involved in the passing game. That looked like bad news for Tariq Cohen, and it was in the first 2 to 3 weeks. And then we saw a quick shift, and Cohen was leading the way, not only as a pass catcher, but getting some carries too. And now it's started to shift back. I don't know what to do with this backfield. I love Cohen as a player. I think I just kind of am pretty apathetic when it comes to Howard. He just kind of seems like a boring dynasty asset, but he does produce when he gets a chance. How are you valuing these two guys and who do you really see or who do you prefer in a dynasty league between those two?
I think you're going to run into the same situation you have now moving forward. I think that they've just carved a role, and Chicago has actually been successful running the ball despite the fact that we don't look at Howard as a successful fantasy player. They're like a 49% success rate running the ball, which is pretty good. I mean, that's not bad at all. And, you know, Howard is in this role now where he's going to get double-digit rushing attempts, but he has next to nothing in receiving. We were sold a bill of goods on this third down thing, and it's not happening at all. I think he has two catches in his last six games for 20 yards. But so his ceiling is obviously severely limited because of that. His floor is going to be there. But and then the flip side is Cohen, and there's the floor is so low because of the lack of volume that he gets on a weekly basis that you're you're relying on these massive plays, which he's capable of, obviously, where he has this one catch for 70-yard reception game that saves your fantasy week. I just think that it's a situation that you have to have the proper expectations moving forward on. The Bears are going to be pretty good offensively, but I think that they're going to be in their role, and that role's not going to change as far as the two, where you're going to have to just deal with the week-to-week inconsistency between both of them.
So, Matt, let's say you are a contender. We're getting close to trade deadline time in Dynasty Leagues, and you've got a late first-round pick. You can trade it for Tariq Cohen, or you can trade it for Jordan Howard, or you can just hold it. What are you doing?
Probably holding it. I agree that things probably won't change. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it if you're the Bears. That's a tough one, man. This is a good question. I guess I'd prefer Howard because I think that defense will keep him in games and they'll be able to use that script going forward. And he's going to be a better touchdown producer, you would think, big picture.
Yeah, I think I agree. Adam, both of these guys were mid, late round picks. So they're both cheap, both still obviously on their rookie deals. It sounds like you expect this to be the same in 2019 with these two.
100%. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't. It's been good, and it's a good package. It's not good for fantasy fun, but it's good for NFL fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Next game, the Saints and the Bengals. New Orleans went into Cincinnati and just really wiped them out. We know we love Mixon. I'm not going to let you talk about him too much. Of course, we know Alvin Kamara is one of the top dynasty assets. Let's talk about Mark Ingram, though. Can fantasy players count on him the rest of the season as a fantasy starter? And do you think he might be with a new team in 2019?
Well, I think you definitely have him as a fantasy starter. You're going to start three running backs per week. That's 36 running backs. I mean, he at this point, he plays for what is essentially the best offense in the league. He's going to be in positive game scripts weekly. I think we've looked at his volume and thought that maybe it was low, and that's not the case. I think he's had 14 or more touches in every game but one. So the volume is there. It's just the efficiency hasn't been there, which is odd because Ingram's always been a pretty efficient player. I expect that to come. So New Orleans can run the ball. New Orleans can do whatever they want to at this point. And I think Peyton would like to lean on the running game. As much as he loves Breeze and Thomas and everything else he has, he did that last year. He played defense and he ran the ball, and I would expect that to happen again. He won't put up 2017 numbers, but absolutely, I'm relying on Ingram. But as far as his contract, yeah, he is a free agent. But if you look at the group that he's going to be with, the only one that I would say is the lock solid, yeah, you're going to get a full-time job, is going to be Le'Veon Bell. But then there's a pretty good group of Tevin Coleman, Jay Ajayi, Ingram, Alex Collins, these guys that are just going to – they're going to get parts of a job. So the best option for me for Ingram is to stay, obviously, if he wants to be successful. So, yeah, if he stays, then he'll be what he's always been. I just don't see him ever leaving this situation and improving as a dynasty asset.
You mentioned Tevin Coleman. That's the next game we want to talk about, the Falcons and the Cleveland Browns. This Falcons backfield has really been a weird one this year. I think fantasy owners came into the season expecting to be able to use and rely on both Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Freeman had the early injury and basically ruined his season almost from week one, which then felt like a slam dunk for Tevin Coleman for the rest of the season, and that just hasn't happened. He's kind of been up and down a little bit. We've seen Ito Smith play a larger role than really anyone expected, and somehow both Freeman and Coleman, I think, have lost dynasty value this year. So let's start with Freeman. We all expect Coleman to move on next year as a free agent. So do you see Freeman basically regaining both his role and his dynasty value?
Oh, yeah, I would certainly agree with that. Coleman's going to leave, and Freeman would be going back to the lead-type running back for Atlanta. But, you know, Devonta Freeman's biggest problem is 2015 Devonta Freeman. We all had these, you know, grandiose ideas that he was going to be this RB1 every single year because he was the overall RB1 in 2015, but that was on 1,600 total yards. So it's not like he had this 2,000 monster season. He just was – In a season that was pathetic for running backs, he was the best of that group. So we've always had these unrealistic expectations. I see him as a 1,200 yard total back, like on a weekly or on a seasonally basis, because I've never felt that he was an upper echelon talent. I think he just plays for a good offense, and now that offense is led by a coordinator that's not as good at getting running backs into successful positions as Shanahan was. So, yeah, I think that's what he has, and I would fully expect Coleman to leave and to try to get a job somewhere else and fell as a starting running back.
Ryan, do you feel like the only one of the three whose stock went up was Ito Smith?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Really, without question. A couple things. First, I want to stay on Freeman for just a second. Right now, back into our ADP, he is RB24. Adam, without a ton of context as far as who's around him, does that feel about right? Back end RB2 dynasty value?
Yeah, I would say so, just based off his age and situation. Yeah, I don't think that that's out of the realm of where he should be.
Okay. And then over to Tevin Coleman, of course, he's the next guy we want to talk about there, and you already said you expect him to fail. Talk to us about why.
Well, Tevin Coleman's the type of player that when he burst on the scene, we all loved him. But he's, like you've mentioned, he's just never taken advantage of the opportunity he's had, especially this year. This is a year where running backs aren't going to make a killing in free agency, but he had an opportunity to take a starting role next year, and he's not done it. And one of the main reasons is because he's got this good trick. He's got speed, which is a good talent to have, but he has the only ability he really has is to catch the edge on the defense. I think 80%, I think it's 77%, if you want to get down to the right number, of his rushing totals have come from off tackle. So that's not going to work on a consistent basis for a 20 type carry back. That'll help on a 10 carry back. Sure, a committee back, he's a fantastic part of a committee, but he will not have a successful lead back role where he cannot run inside between the tackles.
You guys both agree he's not going to get the McKinnon spike from a year ago.
Nope.
No, yeah, I think he's a committee guy forever.
He just has to. He would have to land in that exact perfect situation. I don't know what that situation is right now, and that would even that would just be a value increase, not necessarily the production, like Adam was saying.
I would like to tell some people about Simple Contacts. I have Simple Contacts in my eyeballs as we speak. I love this service. I got to be honest, especially this time of year. I despise going to the doctor, the dentist, the eye doctor, any of those type of things. And Simple Contacts makes it really easy. So Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contacts lens prescriptions and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. And that's 100% true. Instead of heading to the doctor year after year just to renew your prescription for something you wear every day, you can do it on your own time and terms in just a few minutes. The vision care for the 21st century. Need to renew your prescription? Take 5-minute Simple Contact Vision online test. It will be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. Even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you too. So if you have unexpired prescription and need more contacts, just upload a photo of it of your doctor's information and order your lenses. They do all the hard work for you and take care of verifying and confirming your prescription. You can just, you know, use Simple Contacts from anywhere in minutes. The whole test really does take less than 5 minutes. And a licensed doctor reviews every test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts have been rated 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store. And you can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person. There's no automated robots or any of that. So Simple Contacts has all brands and types of lenses you're familiar with. And the vision test is only $20. So compare that to the appointment, the time you take, with sometimes, you know, it can go up to about $200, and their lens prices are unbeatable. But we have a promotion for our listeners. To get $20 off your contacts, which is already, and they're already cheap to begin with, go to simplecontacts.com/dynasty20. Use our code dynasty20 at checkout. Again, that gets you $20 off. Go to simplecontacts.com/dynasty20, and our code is dynasty20. Something you got to do.
Guys, our next game is Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Adam, I'm really interested in your thoughts here. Marlon Mack is a player I was not necessarily a believer in coming into the season. I kind of felt vindicated through much of the early season as he dealt with an injury and was kind of slow to return from that. And when he did return, he had a couple of amazing games, RB2 one week, RB3 the other week, and then had an okay game last week. What are your thoughts on Marlon Mack in general, and should dynasty owners be treating him as a top 20 running back for the next 2 to 3 years?
So Mack was that draft season one of my not sleepers, but just one of my guys that I really did like coming out. But I've never felt watching him on film that he was going to be a lead back getting 20 type carries per game. But he, like you said, he's played really, really well whenever he's been on the field the last few weeks. I personally put a lot of that credit to the Colts offensive line. I've mentioned all offseason that I thought Quentin Nelson was the best player in the draft. That doesn't mean that I think he should have went number one. I just think that he was head and shoulders the best player in this draft, and that he would have the massive impact that he's looking like he's having for the Colts run game. And it's playing out. So to me, if you're buying Marlon Mack, it's because you're buying into Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson and the Colts offensive line and Frank Reich putting together a good game plan, which he's been doing. And you're buying that. And I think that's something to buy into. I think Mack has that speed that we've talked about. Mack's a lot like Tevin Coleman, and I comped him to that coming out of college. But he's in a situation now where he's getting that lead role. I don't know if I can buy into him being more than he is right now. That's hard to say because you're talking top 20 running back. I'll say this. If I'm buying him as a low end of that top 20, I'm going to do that because I'm a person that likes risk, and he's someone that could be a top 10 running back, and it's just because of the offensive line. Well, you can look at yards after contact all you want, but to me, what you want is yards before contact because that's it's repeatable. A good offensive line play is repeatable, and he's going to have that for the next 2 to 3 years. So, yeah, if I can trade him for that type of range, I'm going to do it because of the potential reward.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said there. My concern with him is just those injuries because it's not been just one thing, right? It's been foot, and it's been I think he had a hamstring issue. I can't even remember. Two or three different injuries. And even since these two big games, he's popped up on the injury report, and there was some concern about whether he would play in these games. So if that continues to be an issue, you would think the Colts have to look at other options or at least look at bringing in more competition. I don't know if Jordan Wilkins is really competition. We know what Nyheim Hines is, and he's not really competition for a lead back role either. So that would be my only concern with investing in him. Matt, what are your thoughts on Marlon Mack?
I think that now's a great time to move him because he does look good. The line is strong. I didn't love him coming out of school, and maybe I'm wrong because he has looked better than I expected, but I don't trust him to hold up as a lead guy. And I think the key here is the Colts just have so much money. This could be a great spot for Collins or Ingram, you know, a heavier back that in the end it might be better than Mack.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. I think that you're right. You're spot on. I think to me, it's just the potential of having it hit all right is worth it for me at that price, at a low RB2 price. I'm going to buy into that. But my expectations are set, and knowing full well that he's still going to be more than likely a 15-touch type player or even less, and just have the potential of it hitting well.
What would you need to move him?
Without even thinking, I mean, if you threw a first round pick, I'm not even entertaining it. I'm going to keep Mack, and just a random first, I'm keeping Mack. So I don't know. He's below that, what we talked about earlier, that Fournette, Mixon, Connor tier. Connor, he's well below that. But I would say, just off the top of my head, RB 15 or so around there is where he's going to be. So, yeah. I mean, if you look at that, you're once you get to that area, it's a bunch of crapshoots anyway. So at that point, I want the guy that plays with the best offensive line and has a good head coach.
Yeah, those are very good points. Both the line and the coaching staff there have been impressive this year. Adam, I didn't let you talk about Joe Mixon, but I am going to let you talk about David Johnson, your other guy. You came on our show and told us this offseason, or this preseason, I should say, that David Johnson was still your RB1 overall in Dynasty and Redraft and every format there was. And we know the story here. We know he got off to a disappointing start. We know Mike McCoy was fired. Things are looking up in a major way since Byron Leftwich took over. And in fact, David Johnson had a huge game in Week 10. He was the RB1. He had nearly 200 total yards, led his team in rushing and receiving. So has that poor start affected his dynasty ranking for you? Do you still have him as your RB1, or have you moved him down a little bit?
Well, first off, I'm so thankful that he decided to be the RB1 before I came on this podcast. Thank you, David Johnson, for not making me look like an idiot at this point. But yeah, I mean, the McCoy offense was a disaster, way more than I think anybody could have expected, that even was down on David Johnson. Just the fact of that him just keep on plotting him into the center and guard gaps and not throwing the ball to him was frustrating beyond belief for someone like me that just really does like the player. And now it is this opportunity to redeem himself, I guess, with Byron Leftwich. I've really liked what Leftwich has done. He's got a rookie quarterback, so he can't just have this totally explosive offense in this big playbook because he's got a rookie quarterback. And he's still factoring in David Johnson in ways that McCoy never thought of, putting him out wide, making him a primary read on passing attempts, giving him 9 targets last week. This is exactly what we've been hoping for. So, yeah, he's not my overall RB1. I say this without any nonsense in my voice. I still believe 100% he is the best running back in the league, the most talented running back in the league. That's better than Barkley, better than Gurley. I 100% believe that he has the most talent, but he's in a situation that's poor right now, and he's got a rookie quarterback that's learning the ropes. So I'm going to tell you this. He's still going to be a lot higher for me than anybody else. I can promise you that. David Johnson would not be traded in my league because I own him. And I own the other two players that I would trade him for, and that's Barkley and Gurley. So, yeah, that's a nice dynasty.
That's a pretty
that's
good
a nice that's dynasty league. So I own the only two players that I would trade him for. So he's not getting moved. I'm not saying that you're crazy if you trade him for, you know, Kamara. Kamara would be right there too. But Kamara, McCaffrey, Hunt, sure. Yeah, absolutely you could move him from them. I just personally wouldn't.
Did we miss the window to get him if there was one?
I still think people think that Arizona is just god-awful and that they're going to continue to be that way, and they're going to think the situation is just going to remain terrible for him. But to me, he can play through bad situations just as long as he's getting targets. That's what he's always needed, as targets. He wins in the passing game.
I agree. I don't think you necessarily missed the window to get him. You maybe missed the window to get him as cheap as he was
sure
a month ago, but that probably happened as soon as McCoy got fired. Because as soon as that happened, everyone expected what we've seen the past couple weeks. And even before McCoy got fired, Johnson was actually an RB1. I think he was the RB12 the week that McCoy got fired. And I'm talking about cumulative for the full season. So the week-to-week numbers were a little disappointing, a little frustrating, but he was still hanging around and putting up some points for fantasy owners. And Adam, I was just giving you a hard time. Definitely should not feel any shame because we were all believers in David Johnson, as we should be, and it really just goes to show you how important and sometimes how damaging coaching can be, because it doesn't take, you know, an offensive mastermind to look at that and just be frustrated, especially when you've got the game plan, right? You've got the blueprint. That's what we should say on here. We saw what he did a couple of years ago, and you don't have the same, you know, the offensive line is different, the quarterback is different, but some of those plays will work no matter what. And like you said, just running into the back of the offensive lineman is never going to work, as we saw.
Hey, one thing on that. Let's talk in 3 months and let's see how many fantasy championships are won with David Johnson on the roster. Let's see what happens.
I think
Rosen's a real deal too. Like, I think this offense is only going up.
Next game, Buffalo and the Jets. Maybe we should have just skipped this one. Not much excitement here to talk about at the running back position specifically. Not a lot of long-term value with these guys. So with these running backs, let's just focus on the rest of the season. Adam, which running back do you think is going to be most helpful to fantasy owners as we near the end of the fantasy season and the fantasy playoffs? You've got LeSean McCoy, you've got Isaiah Crowell, and you've got Elijah McGuire. Which one of those would you want if you had to use them in a flex spot?
It's still Shady McCoy for me. Shady McCoy's had some decent games whenever Nathan Peterman doesn't start. It's hard to have decent games when your quarterback turns the ball over at that rate because you're just not in the field enough. Last week he had a pretty good game with Barkley, and he's the most talented player between the three. And I think at that point, whenever you're talking garbage offenses, you need to lean on the one that has the most talent, and it's Shady. So he's the only one I'm really interested in, because I would expect McGuire to start getting more of the carries, because they have to see what they have. They kind of know what they've had in Crowell, and he's had a couple of good games, but he's not going to be someone that you want to lean on for 20 attempts on a good team. So yeah, I don't want really any part of the Jets, but I'll take a run on McCoy and just see what happens for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we won't spend any more time on that one. I do like McGuire. If you've got him on your dynasty team, I like him. I could see him making an impact the rest of this season and beyond.
Do you guys agree with me? Super quick. Do you think the Bills and Jets leading rusher is currently on their roster for 2019?
I would say no.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets for sure, but I would not be surprised if they bring back McCoy and he runs for 850 and it's the leading rusher for the Bills.
It's hard to see either of these teams really turning it around even into next year, which is kind of scary.
Ryan, I don't know about you, dude, but I'm hard to buy for at Christmas, man. Yeah, I mean, I really am. And I just usually, if I need something, I go buy it. And, do you want to get your dad or husband or buddy or whoever another pair of socks or a tie or something boring like that? So let me tell you about Harry's. And I have told you about them many times. They're very good friends of the show. Like I told you before, I got hooked on Harry's Blades way back when with a different podcast when they sponsored it. And before that, all I ever used was an electric razor. And now all I ever use are Harry's Blades. So they make long-lasting quality products that are at a super reasonable price. They're German-engineered blades. They're only like $2 each as opposed to like four or five that you're spending for other blades. It's crazy. They have a 4 out of 5 5-star rating at Trustpilot. It's a practical gift that your dad or husband or buddy or brother will use. And then you save him money on blade refills. And like me, he'll get hooked after that. So you can personalize it to make him feel even special. You can choose a color that's right for him. There's limited edition holiday handles now. I could get myself one of those. Personal engraving options. Ready to gift sets come in handsome gift box. Gift sets starting at just $10. 100% quality guarantee. It's wonderful. So here's our special offer. We've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/dynasty. Plus, you'll get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays, so jump on it quick, guys. So it comes with a wonderful weighted handle with an option to engrave, German-engineered 5-blade cartridge that provides a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, smells great too, by the way, a travel cover to protect your blades, a handsome holiday gift box, or if you just want something for yourself, redeem your Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. So get your holiday shipping and shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act right now. Go to harrys.com/dynasty. It's all caps. Make sure you do that. I don't think it matters, but you might as well make it be safe. Get you $5 off your shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
Adam, let's talk about Ronald Jones. Washington and the Bucks played last week, and Jones wasn't in the game. He's out with an injury. But again, I'm going to take you back to our preseason show.
Mm-hmm.
You loved Ronald Jones.
Still do.
You talked Matt into loving Ronald Jones. Matt traded for Ronald Jones. He's been a little bit of a disappointment. Actually, he's been a major disappointment this year. He, unable to beat out Peyton Barber, hasn't really gotten on the field when he has suffered that injury, and he's now out. If you drafted or traded for Ronald Jones as a dynasty owner, what would be your advice for those folks?
So he's obviously been the most disappointing aspect of my outlooks, I guess, because I was, and I still am, absolutely high on Ronald Jones. I think that people overreact so quickly to a small sample size. We looked at this preseason and we were flipping out about him not getting any yards in preseason. While I posted something on Twitter, you could go back and look at my handle. He had absolutely no help and no chance on any of those runs. To expect anything different would be crazy. And now we're at a point where the guy's had 19 real rushing attempts in the NFL, and we're ready to label him a bust. But here's me getting defensive, I guess. But we're okay with labeling Darius Guy still the RB2, or saying that he should be second pick in rookie drafts at this point. And the guy was not even close to the second running back taken, and he's coming off of a severe knee injury. Yes, people come back, but he has an ACL injury. But we're okay and we're comfortable with that for a guy that has zero rushing attempts. So to me, that's a bit hypocritical. You're believing in something that you haven't seen versus seeing something for 19 times and thinking it's terrible. The real issue is that Todd Monken's offense is something that Twitter seems to like, because it's as close as air raid is going to get in the NFL currently. But it just hasn't had any success rushing the ball. We can look at Peyton Barber. We can look at all of them. They have a 42% successful rush rate. It's terrible. The entire run game cannot function at any type of sustained success. So to me, the real issue is that Dirk Koetter's probably going to get fired. Monken probably leave with them. And now you're going to have a new coaching staff, which could be a good thing for Ronald Jones because he's going to get a fresh look. Or it could be bad, because when a new staff comes in, any type of draft class that they've just had in a previous regime is always subject to, hey, I don't want that guy. So I do not change my outlook on a player as a prospect after 19 attempts. I think that would be crazy to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. You almost talked me into Jones when we had you on earlier. I didn't quite get there, but if I'm you, if I'm anybody else who was a fan or a believer in him, you absolutely should be making trade offers for him everywhere. And even if you weren't like me, I think you probably still should be making trade offers everywhere. If you can buy that guy for a second rounder and see what happens, 100%, that's what you should do. And honestly, I think in a lot of leagues, that's what you can do. I've seen him sold for a second rounder in multiple leagues that I play in. So it is happening. And worst case, you lose a second rounder, not the 1-2, 1-3, 1-4 like some others might have spent.
And whenever you compare him to what's coming out in this draft class, I think you're going to be disappointed in what comes out in 2019's class. So I think you should have some perspective on that. It's not going to be the classes it's been the last two seasons.
Yeah, very good point. Next game, the Patriots and the Titans. That was a surprising one for many, as the Titans won pretty easily. We said earlier, James Connor was one of the top stories of the fantasy season. James White is another one of the top stories of the fantasy season. He's been an RB1 essentially from week one, and really is going to end up, I think he's going to end up being a league winner and a major difference maker. Do you see any other players that maybe are buried on depth charts, maybe just playing part-time roles right now, as White has over the past couple years, that you could see moving into this type of role where they become such a valuable piece of a backfield committee as that PPR back?
You know, that's a tough question, because the only one that really even came to mind is, has, I guess, kind of broken out over the last 5 weeks, and that's Jalen Richard. just because he's been getting opportunity. I think he has 32 targets over the last 5 weeks. And the more impressive part of that is he's caught 30 of them. So he's catching everything that's thrown to him. Now he plays for Oakland, which who knows what they're going to do in the offseason. I'm sure it'll be cleaning the house. But he would be the one of the ones that would be interesting to me. And the only other one that even comes close is someone that we all know, and that's Chris Thompson if he ever gets healthy. But the fact is that James White plays for a team that uses the running backs basically more than anybody. They have the second most fantasy points for the position behind New Orleans, and that's pretty consistent every year. Yeah, you may think that they committee it, but you want New England running backs. Someone's going to score points and someone's going to catch balls, and that just happens to be both James White this year, which is fantastic for anybody playing fantasy. But yeah, that's hard to say because you have to be on a good offense and you have to be in a hidden role on a good offense. Playing third down roles for the Jets as Elijah McGuire is not anything that's going to be close to what James White does.
How about Nyheim Hines?
Yeah, if you're not sold on Mac.
You don't love
Mac.
Right.
That was one of the ones I did have listed down was Hines.
The player I was thinking of in that same scenario is the next guy I want to ask you about, the Chargers and the Raiders. You talked about Jalen Richard. I want to go to the other side and ask you about Austin Eckler. A lot of people, including myself, view him as a standalone option, a guy who has fantasy value regardless of what Melvin Gordon is doing, and others simply view him as a handcuff or a change of pace back to Melvin Gordon. What are your thoughts on Eckler? Do you think he could be that James White type player?
Yeah, that's a good one is Austin Eckler. And I probably left him out because I feel like he's already at that point of maybe not James White because he doesn't get the ball that much, but he's at that point where we all know him. I don't believe that Austin Eckler is a guy that's ever going to be the lead back of a committee, but I think he's a fabulous part of a committee. And sure, because of how good the Chargers play offensively and how much on occasion, I guess it hasn't always worked out lately, that he's been getting the ball as a receiver, that makes him a weekly play. I mean, the guy's averaged 5 yards per carry and over 10 yards per reception for 2 seasons now. So that's a pretty ridiculous number to have between those two. Where you're doing that, that's a serious NFL player. So yeah, I think he's someone that's going to be valuable moving forward. I will say this. He seems to be the person that, I hate to bring him up again, that people are going to clamor for every year to be a starting running back, a la Tevin Coleman, and then you're going to wait 3 years when he's a free agent, and then you're going to be disappointed because it's just not going to happen. I think just enjoy what you have and don't expect him to ever be this RB1 that moving forward like we did with Coleman or something like that.
Adam, I think the theme that is really showing up as we talk about all these running backs is like Eckler's a really nice player. Like, I wish he was on my favorite mm-hmm. team, and my son might have a jersey of him, but it's not easy to be the man.
Yes. Yeah, you watch Melvin Gordon on film, and I know we've right. hyped up Austin Eckler, and he's had some good plays. But you, for someone that was never really a big fan of, and Gordon, you watch him on film this year, it's a night and day situation. Melvin Gordon looks ridiculous on film. He is awesome this year. And Eckler looks good on film.
All right, we're going to start with Matt this time. We're going to talk about the Packers and the Dolphins.
Oh, I'm so glad.
It's Aaron Jones season. I know, Matt, you and many others have been waiting for this time. We saw Ty Montgomery traded. We've seen Jamal Williams be just okay for a year and a half now, not really taking advantage of his opportunity. He had pretty much had the backfield to himself the first couple games as Jones was suspended. But here we are. We had Jones, I think it's fair to call it a breakout game against the Dolphins this week. So, Matt, how high do you see Jones climbing when it comes to dynasty rankings?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows I love him. I've gotten a lot of tweets from you guys out there thanking me, saying I picked up Jones on your request, you know, a year ago or a month ago or whatever, and it's paying off, and I do think it is. I think I'd rather have him than any of the rookies this year not named Barkley. I mean, in that range, I mean, would you rather have Jones than Chubb? Or I don't think he's that far off the Fournette Connor tier.
So
I might rather have Chubb, yeah. But I think I'd rather have him than Michelle.
He is RB19 in our latest ADP that was collected prior to his breakout game over the past week or so. Right ahead of him is James White, a guy we just talked about. I think we'd rather have Jones than White. Do we all agree on that one?
Yes.
And then we see Sony Michel, Darius Geis. And then at RB15 is Nick Chubb. So that's kind of the range maybe we're talking about in the mid-teens.
Chubb's the only one I'd consider that group over him, and I'm still torn on that.
Kerryon Johnson is 14.
I still like Jones.
Okay, better. So he's pushing RB1 range for you. Adam, tell us your thoughts on Aaron Jones.
I love Aaron Jones, the player. Last week I had Marlon Mack, and he was coming off those two monster games, and I was going to attempt to see if we could do a Mack for Jones trade in my league before he blew out this week, just to see where we were. I thought that would be something I could possibly get done. Now, I don't think that's going to happen at this point. I don't think Jones is going to get moved for him. But the fact is, people need to realize this. People do not rush for 7 yards per carry. That does not happen in the NFL. So efficiency numbers will drop. It is absolutely going to happen. He'll regress to some sort of mean. He's not going to be a 5 yard per carry career running back. That's Jamaal Charles. So you're going to have to realize that number is going to go from 7 or 6, 8, where it's at now, down to a 4, 5 number or even less moving forward. And that has to be helped with an increase in volume, which we all expect to happen. That's the only way you offset the lack of efficiency that's coming. I think that he's a fantastic player. He was one of my guys along with Mac that I really liked coming out last year. I think on that offense, you have to like what you see. He's run extremely well. He's starting to get a little bit more passing work, and Jamaal Williams is getting phased out, which is the way it should be. But, you know, he still hasn't had more than 15 rush attempts this year in a game, and he hasn't had 18 touches. He's only had 18 touches as his high mark for the year, and that's going to have to go up. It's going to have to go up to 20 touches per game for him to maintain where he's at if that number goes from 7 to 4 or 5.
So as far as his dynasty value, Adam, are you in agreement with Matt that you're putting him in that RB15 range or maybe even a little higher?
No, whenever the name you said that made me really hesitate was Sony Michel. When he said that one, I thought, okay, now are we really going to go to that point? And that's where I'm going to have a conversation at and have to decide where I wanted to go, right around that range, which is good. I mean, that's a pretty solid range. What was that? What'd you say, 16 or something for Michel?
Yeah, Michelle was 17. Your guy Darius Geis is 16. So
yeah, I don't think that Matt's far off though, as far as pushing him with the rookies. You know, even with Chubb, because you're just picking your taste at that point between Chubb, Geis. That's where you're going to be, Michelle. Yeah, I don't think that's off at all.
I think he's going to catch more balls going forward too. I mean, I know Williams is the reliable one. He's better in protection. We've heard that a million times, but Jones has more upside as a receiver, too.
Williams is boring.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Next game, the Seahawks and the Rams. We don't even need to talk about Todd Gurley, so let's talk about the Seahawks. Suddenly, the Seattle team has multiple running backs that we've seen have some success this year. Chris Carson has a couple of RB1 games. Mike Davis has a couple of RB1 games under his belt. And then on Sunday, we see Rashard Penny go over 100 yards, score his first touchdown. It's pretty obvious that Penny is still the guy out of this trio that we want. But when does he really take over the backfield? How do you see this breaking down, Adam?
Well, this run game has got to be the revelation of the season for me as far as output from running backs, because I thought Seattle would be terrible running the ball. And here we are since week 5, they have the third most rushing yards in the league, and that's from running backs. Forget Russell Wilson and what he's adding. But I think we need to have expectations of Chris Carson still gaining at least 10 carries per game. So whatever that leaves for Penny at this point moving forward is going to be what he gets. I do not think that Penny will all of a sudden grasp the starting role and throw Chris Carson out. I like Penny a lot. I liked him way more than Carson moving forward, but Pete Carroll likes Chris Carson and Schottenheimer likes Chris Carson. And that's going to move forward for the rest of the season where he's going to get, I would say, the majority of the carries, whatever the majority is, he's going to get it if he's healthy.
So would your advice for Penny be similar to Jones as far as buy at that discount?
Yeah, he probably should have done it last week before he went for 10 yards per carry. I think you'll need him to have a few more of these 5-for-20 output games, and then you can buy him back in at a cheaper rate.
Or games where he doesn't even see a snap, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's had a couple of those. Next game, Dallas and the Eagles. Man, this Eagles backfield has really just been a disaster. They lost Jay Ajayi early in the season. They had three guys they thought they could mix in. It just hasn't worked. Even Darren Sproles has been hurt essentially the entire year. Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams is kind of coming on lately. Do you want any of these guys for the rest of this season? And do you see any of those having 2019 value?
The only one is Josh Adams. He's worth a look. He was someone that had, you know, obviously a ton of college production. It wasn't necessarily showing up on film as someone that I thought could translate into a superior NFL talent. But, you know, a lot of times college production can be a way that we can project. And he's going to be the only person from this backfield that I have any interest in. Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood are just guys, and they will never be more than just guys. So moving forward next year, Ajayi's a free agent. I mean, I fully expect them to get somebody else besides Josh Adams. They're gonna roll out Ajayi or Ingram or whatever they spend money on. So moving forward in 2019, you have to just throw a dart at Josh Adams and see what happens.
Well, we've seen this team be very aggressive as far as making trades, moving around the draft board. Maybe they're a team that goes after Tevin Coleman, Le'Veon Bell, one of these big name running backs. And I think both of those guys could actually fit pretty well with Adams, kind of a bigger back. What do you think?
Matt, is Western PA ready for Le'Veon Bell to play for the Eagles?
That's not a rival. I mean, that's 6 hours away. That just happens to be in the same state. But Ryan, I'm with you. I mean, they're definitely a very aggressive organization, but as it stands right now, they have the worst cap situation in the whole league. You know, so maybe it's, you know, first round running back, or they dump a salary and make room. But I just look at this team and think they're not going to run at all. They're just going to throw and throw and throw and say, Carson, take us as far as you can.
And Ajayi coming off an injury is going to be cheap. I don't think there's any reason they couldn't bring him back on a cheaper contract.
1 year prove
Absolutely.
It deal.
He's not going to get not going to get any more than $4 or $5 million at the max.
Right. Agreed.
I think there's reasons they shouldn't bring him back, but it's not money. It's not money related. All right, let's finish up last game, the Monday Night Football game, the Giants and the 49ers. Again, not much more we need to say about Saquon Barkley. He's the top two or three running back in all of Dynasty, and we'll leave it at that. Let's talk about the 49ers and Matt Breida, though. They of course, lost Jerick McKinnon in the preseason, and, you know, just kind of didn't know where they were going to turn. And Breida has been a great answer for them. But like Marlon Mack, and maybe even worse than Marlon Mack, he's had multiple injuries as well. He just continues to play through them. He's got to be, first of all, one of the toughest players in the league just to continue to go out there and grind out these carries. But he's been very impressive as well, especially against the Giants in this game. So how do you see 2019 shaking out? Is it going to be a Breida McKinnon committee? Can Breida lead that and push McKinnon kind of to a secondary role like he was in Minnesota?
So first, for the young crowd, you'll need to Google this because it's well before your time. But he's basically Willis Reed every week at this point, where he's injured, and we think he's going to go on injured reserve in the second quarter. And then here he comes back out and rushes for 100 yards. So I love Breida. I think he's playing phenomenally for how injured he has to be. You're not going to just fake this every single week. He's hurt, and he's putting up good numbers, even hurt. He's essentially, to me, I was thinking about this, he's, not to keep on whipping on Tevin Coleman, he's, if Tevin Coleman hit perfectly and did everything right, he's basically Matt Breida. He's fast. He's got tremendous physical skills. He catches the ball well. He runs between the tackles well. He runs outside well because of how fast he is. But Jerick McKinnon does a lot of that too, and that's what they paid him for. So Moving forward, I'm certainly interested to see how Shanahan uses those two together. He's done it with success in the past with Atlanta. He already did it with Coleman and Freeman. So if you're a Breida fan, you hope that it's Freeman and that he's the Freeman portion of this committee and that Coleman gets more of the McKinnon type role. So,
Adam, I love everything you just said, and I love his toughness too. I just don't think he's long for this world.
You may not be. I mean,
like
serious.
2 years
every
from now,
week,
we might be like, remember Matt Breida?
Every week, I think, okay, that's it. He's done. He's dead.
Right. He's like the Terminator. I mean, he just keeps like coming back.
Yeah, that's the thing that concerns me. And like I said, it's worse than Mac because he's leaving. He's leaving in the middle of games. We don't know if he's getting one series or really. We just don't know what's going to happen. And that makes it tough for fantasy players to use Breida, and that's probably why we haven't seen a major spike in his dynasty value despite his solid season so far. Well, Adam, thanks so much for joining us. I think we hit every game in Week 10 with your thoughts on some of those key running backs. We appreciate you joining us. Tell our listeners where they can find your work.
So you can find me at the RB Scout on Twitter. I do some work for Fanball as well. I've been more quiet this season. It's not because of lack of work, I can promise you. There is a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on RB Scout. We've taken a backseat from just posting stuff to post. My group, we have a couple guys that do a lot of analytic work. We are actually in the process of, I posted this early in the offseason, of trying to find stats that actually matter moving forward for the RB position, kind of like what Josh Hermsmeyer has done with the receivers. We've been trying our best to find stuff that you can use to project running backs moving forward, and it is not an easy task. So there has been a ton of work behind the scenes on that we're trying to do, and getting prepared for next season to do a lot of cool stuff that we're not ready to talk about, but I can assure you, things are going to be very, very big for RB Scout next year, what we're going to bring to the table that no one's really ever seen. So we're excited about it, but it's costing us time this year, and it's costing us the ability to put a lot of content, but so be it. I think it's going to be worth it.
Man, that is awesome to hear. Like I said, you are one of our regulars. We hope to have you back in the off season. You can tell us more about all those things when you're ready. But it sounds like great things coming from rbscout.com as there always are. So we appreciate your work. We appreciate your time. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.